Hello, my name is Harry Weber, and I welcome you to my presentation entitled Finding DC Operating Points of Nonlinear Circuits Using Kalman Linearization. I start my presentation with a motivation in which I will describe the process of analysis of DC operating points for nonlinear circuits. In this contribution, a new procedure is presented based on the Kalman linearization, which allows to transform nonlinear algebraic equations into an equivalent infinite dimensional linear system. This system is further approximated by a self-consistent technique, which allows to obtain an approximation over a predefined interval. The complete procedure is presented by means of examples like a tunnel diode circuit and a CMOS multivibrator. Finally, I will give a summary and possible extensions of the procedure. For the analysis of DC operating points of nonlinear circuits, it is necessary to solve a nonlinear algebraic equation. All real roots of this algebraic equation corresponds to the DC operating points. Thereby, multiple DC operating points are possible, which are also depending on the circuit parameters. Usually, numerical methods, as a Newton-Raphson method, are applied in order to calculate these DC operating points. However, in dependency of the starting point and the attraction domain of the DC operating points, different solutions may be obtained. Therefore, different approaches exist in the literature. One example are the so-called homotopy methods. Thereby, the original algebraic equation is embedded to a new problem. Now the solution is traced by when the parameter is varied. Thereby, additional DC operating points may appear, or even the solution may disappear. Further, system knowledge is necessary for devising a successful embedding. In this contribution, an improved global analysis is presented for polynomial models based on the Kalman linearization. For the Kalman linearization, we now consider following simple example. At first, we calculate all possible DC operating points by applying the Newton-Raphson method. Now, the analysis is performed by a Kalman linearization and are compared to the numerical results. In order to apply the Kalman linearization, we at first transform the original algebraic equation into an equivalent difference equations. Herefore, we multiply the algebraic equation with x to the power of n and use following transformation rule. In this case, following difference equations are obtained. In order to obtain the desired solution x, we have to calculate the state x1, because in this case, the state x1 corresponds to the desired solution x. Now, these linear difference equations are interpreted as infinite dimensional linear system. Herefore, all possible values of n are inserted in the linear difference equations, so we obtain an infinite number of equations. This set of equations can be rewritten in matrix notation, and we obtain following infinite dimensional linear system. Since no closed form solution may be given, in general, for such an infinite dimensional linear system, further approximation is necessary. One possibility is the approximation by truncation. In this case, the infinite dimensional linear system is truncated after a predefined maximal dimension. As can be seen here, higher order contributions or higher contribution of higher dimension are neglected. Therefore, this approximation is only valid in the vicinity of the origin. In contrast, a self-consistent technique may be applied. In this case, also, the maximal dimension is restricted to a predefined maximal dimension. Now, the finite dimensional linear system, or the coefficients of the finite dimensional system, are adapted so that we obtain an approximation over a predefined interval. These new coefficients are calculated by a least square fit in this case. In order to apply the self-consistent technique, at first the maximal dimension is defined. In this case, it's now it is considered where higher order contributions of higher dimensions are neglected. In this case, only one function has to be considered, since only in this case, contribution of higher dimensional can be noted. This function is rewritten here and is transformed back by using again the already defined transformation rule. So we obtain following polynomial, which contains degrees higher than the maximum dimension. Now this polynomial equation function gets approximated by a new polynomial, which has only a degree which is equal to the maximum dimension. The coefficients are calculated in this sense that this new polynomial approximates the original function over a predefined interval. This is illustrated in this figure once more. So the blue line is the original polynomial, and the green one is the new polynomial, which approximates the blue one in this predefined interval. In order to calculate these coefficients, a least square fit is applied. In comparison, the function obtained by the truncation method is also shown here in orange. This function is obtained by just neglecting higher order contribution of higher dimension. So we're neglecting this term here. And as we can see now, the solution, the truncated method provides only a good approximation in the vicinity of the origin. For increasing values, a larger deviation can be noticed. Now, using again for this new polynomial, the already defined transformation, and we obtain following finite dimensional linear system with adapted coefficients. Now, we compare the solution of both methods. On the left side, the solution obtained by the truncation is shown, and as is presented here, we calculate the TC operating point in the vicinity of the origin, as expected. On contrast, with a self-consistent technique with following interval, we obtain now a DC operating point, which lies within the DC, within this range. This approximation can be further used as a starting point for a numerical method like the Newton-Raphson method in order to obtain a more accurate solution. In the following, we consider the case if multiple or no DC operating point exist in the predefined interval. For this purpose, we consider following example of a tunnel diode circuit. We assume the following polynomial model for the tunnel diode. So we obtain following polynomial algebraic equation, which is further approximated by self-consistent Kalman linearization over a predefined interval. For the initial interval, it is used that if the no-gain property holds, the all possible DC operating points are limited by the supply voltage. In order to include the limited case, we use a small extension of the initial interval. The solution of the self-consistent Kalman linearization is now compared here graphically to the shown polynomial algebraic equation, and the initial interval used is presented here by these blue lines. Now we apply the self-consistent technique with two different maximal dimensions, and the solutions for each maximal dimension is shown here by the blue dots. And as we can see in this initial interval, multiple DC operating points exist, and the solution of the self-consistent Kalman linearization lies outside of the initial interval. And also we see that the solution do not converge to a possible DC operating point. Therefore, we divide now this interval into half. So we have in this subinterval only one DC operating point. And as we can see here, the solution now converges to the within this subinterval and to the possible DC operating point. In this case, we have again two DC operating points. And as we can see, the solution do not converge with increasing dimension. Therefore, we divide this subinterval once more. So we obtain again these two additional subintervals. Now we have in this subinterval no DC operating point. And as we can see, the solution lies the outside of the subinterval. So we lies outside of the subinterval. In this case, we have now two possible DC operating points. And again, we see for increasing dimension, the solution lies outside of the subinterval and no converging can be noticed. Therefore, we divide the subinterval omega 4 once more. And now we can see that in each subinterval, the solution converges. And so we identified here in these two subintervals, the all possible DC operating points. In order now to check if additional DC operating points exist in this subinterval omega 3, we can now expand this subinterval so that an already identified DC operating point is included. If we do so, we can see now that with increasing maximal dimension, the solution converges to the already identified DC operating point, and therefore we can state that there's no additional DC operating point in the subinterval omega 3. From these considerations, now a general procedure can be derived. At the beginning, we define an initial interval, and if the no gain property is satisfied, this initial interval is defined directly by the supply voltage. Now the self-consistent Kalman linearization is applied for different maximal dimensions. If the solution is now within the given interval and converges, then we identify a DC operating point. If this is not the case, we have to divide the interval successively until in each subinterval the criteria is satisfied. In order to check in a subinterval if additional DC operating points exist, we can expand the subinterval so that an already identified DC operating point is included and recheck the criteria. And if the solution then converges to the already identified DC operating point, we can state that there is no additional DC operating point. And by this procedure, it is possible to identify all possible DC operating points within the initial interval. This procedure is now applied for a CMOS multivibrator. In order to calculate the DC operating points of the circuit, we have to solve following a multidimensional nonlinear algebraic equation. However, by decomposition into two subnetworks, we can reduce the higher dimensional problem to the one-dimensional case. Further, we use a polynomial model for the network behavior of a CMOS multivibrator. So finally, we obtain a polynomial algebraic equation for which we can apply the self-consistent Kalman linearization. Again, for the initial interval, we can use that the no gain property holds, and the initial interval can be defined directly by the supply voltage. Further, by considering the polynomial algebraic equation, we can directly identify the trivial DC operating point at the origin. Therefore, we divide the initial interval directly into three subintervals for the negative case in the vicinity of the origin and one for the positive case. The results obtained by the self-consistent Kalman linearization with different maximal dimensions is shown here. And for each of the three subintervals, and as one can notice, in each subinterval, the solution converges for increasing maximal dimensions. And since the criteria is satisfied in all subintervals, all possible DC operating points are identified in the initial interval. In summary, in this contribution, DC operating points are considered of nonlinear circuits, which are described by polynomial models. The DC operating points are calculated over a given interval based on a self-consistent Kalman linearization. And if the no gain property holds, the initial interval was defined directly by the supply voltage. This initial interval is successively partitioned in order to identify all DC operating points, and the procedure was illustrated for nonlinear circuits, which are decomposable into two subnetworks. Possible extensions are the application of the procedure for higher dimensional algebraic equations and also for nonlinear models with transcendental functions. Thank you for your attention.